Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
First thing I want to talk about is Christmas parties. Tomorrow night, by the way, Classic Hits are having their Christmas party. Most of the staff here and a couple of other radio stations will be going to that Christmas party. And I'm not a Christmas party person, I'll be honest with you. I kind of got turned off the many, many years ago because I worked in the nightclub industry. And this is going back, say, 15, 20 years ago. And I always remember they were quite sordid. You know, as I mentioned yesterday when I was talking to Lean about it, you know, you'd have doormen running off with bar girls and barmen running off with security girls. And there was all sorts of carry-on was going on. And all these people were married, by the way. And not only that, somebody would end up losing their job. Well, a recent survey by the Irish Congress of Trade Unions last month found 20% of sexual harassment reported in the workplace had taken place at a work-related social event, such as a Christmas party. And yesterday, Tara mentioned on the news that over 30% of people go to a Christmas party with the intention of going on the pull, so to speak. Now, I can't tell you whether those 30%, by the way, are married or single, but certainly there's a lot of shenanigans going on. And talking a bit more about it is John Boylan of BDM Boylan Solicitors in Cork. Good afternoon to you, John.
Good afternoon, Niall. You're probably embarrassed to find the Christmas grunge down in Cork who has the same surname as yourself.
Oh, well, that's okay. It's a good name. It's a good name, the Boylan name. Let's keep it going. I don't know very many Boylans, actually. My father
mine either, in fairness.
I think my father actually originally comes from Monaghan. So I don't know if the name comes from that direction somewhere. I haven't a clue.
Our man in Monaghan is back along. So at somewhere along the line, we're related, I'm sure.
Probably. There isn't that many of us around. Well, anyway, I mean, John, are you saying that we should ban these occasions where everybody has way too much drink? I suppose frustrations and all that kind of stuff of working together for the whole year, and all of a sudden you see Mary from accounts and she looks different because she has a nice dress on her and her hair is down, or you see John from sales and he has a suit on him all of a sudden and looks a little bit more dapper. Is this a kind of reason why people become attracted to each other?
Oh, absolutely. I there are so many issues being caused by them, with loss of employees, Niall, and with morale issues. The biggest problem of all is morale. If things happen at a Christmas party that people are ashamed of or embarrassed about, it's going to go into the workplace. The Labour Court in Ireland has held that the Christmas party is part of the workplace, as you know, and the dignity.
Oh, it is. Oh, so it's officially the workplace, the Christmas party.
It's officially the workplace. So if you book a hotel for the Christmas party, and even if you book rooms overnight, which one of the things I am totally against, because whatever the behaviour is.
Yeah, the shenanigans earlier, gets worse. So yeah.
It gets worse. And, yeah. We have found, we act for a lot of employers, and we've sadly now, the upsurge in investigations after Christmas parties has been huge in the last 2 or 3 years. In the last 2 years, we've had nearly 10 very serious incidents at Christmas parties.
And when you say serious incidents, what, incidents of violence, sexual harassment, or what is it?
Physical assault, sexual harassment, drug taking is on the increase hugely. There's about 20% now of people who are dismissed after the Christmas party are dismissed for drug use. And they don't realise, the employees don't realise that it is an extension of the, unless they get a letter or an email beforehand, that it is an extension of the workplace. Or you can't say, oh, I'm out socialising, I can do my own thing.
You still have a responsibility to behave yourself in some sense, even though you might be hammered.
Exactly. And in England, I had to do a presentation to employers and I did a bit of research. There's very little research in Ireland, except by that Congress of Trade Unions who you mentioned. And what they found as well is that 8 out of 9 people who say they were sexually harassed didn't make a formal complaint. So the 20% that you talk about, which of sexual harassment at the Christmas party, is actually probably much worse when, as I say, 8 or 9 out of 10 don't report it.
Well, on our news yesterday, ironically enough, we reported another report, and I can't remember what the report was from, but I know Tara read it at the news, that over 30% of people go to the Christmas party with the intention of going on the pull. Now, I don't know whether these people are single or married. I haven't a clue, and I'm assuming some of them are married. So this is a huge part of the problem as well, isn't it?
It is, and on top of that, it's stated that 60% go with the intention of getting hammered. So if you combine then, drink goggles and seeing people in a different view and all that kind of stuff.
But this is what I said earlier on. All of a sudden, you know, Mary in accounts, who normally looks quite conservative, is suddenly wearing a long revealing dress and her hair is down. Or Tom has a suit on and he looks a bit more handsome than he normally would in the office. So, yeah, people do look more attractive to you.
you add into the mix then, Niall, that when you're talking about the nightclubs of the days that you saw, there were no mobile phones.
Mm.
So you add in then that there's evidence of the illicit behaviour. What happens next then, of course, sadly, is you have marriages and engagements go down the Swanee.
I remember it, John. Well, going back to the old days, and you know the nightclub that I worked for, they would book a week, well, not a weekend, two nights in a hotel in sort of Mullingar or sort of Monaghan or somewhere else, right? Anywhere away from Dublin, which means people were kind of locked into it. And sure, there was people running from room to room at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you just know there was carry on going on. You know, and these people, a lot of these people I know were married.
Yeah, and that's why I would totally ban overnight accommodation. I would ban free bars because the other thing we have in Ireland, as you know, is a large proportion of people can't handle a free bar. They think that because it's their employer and they have a free bar...
They're owed something, yeah.
They're owed something. They take triples of brandies, they take shots way above the normal amount of shots they take because they're free. And before they know it, it's interesting as well, over between 50 and 60% in the whole of the United Kingdom who were involved in this survey said that they had completely embarrassed themselves in front of management. Now, that's over half the workplace at a Christmas party. So it is...
Drink plays obviously a huge part in it. And I remember going back some time ago, being at an event where a boss was there. I won't say where I was working at the time. Where a boss was there, and we were all sitting around having a late night drink before we went off and retired to bed. It was an event for the particular radio station I was working for, and one of the guys who worked for the radio station started telling the boss how crap the radio station was, and he was absolutely hammered. And we were all looking, going, "Oh no! Oh please stop! Oh please stop!"
Yep.
I can reassure you that person probably didn't last very long.
Well, I can say worse. That is so common. That you have an issue in the workplace, in the normal workplace, and it's taken in, as I call it, into the Christmas party. You have no idea how common it is that suddenly a fella or a lady gets fierce courageous after an unmerciful amount of drink.
Bit of Dutch gold, up, yeah, or not Dutch gold, but Dutch courage.
Not just saying about the radio station, will pile in on with their personal views of them.
I never liked you anyway. You're a miserable old shite.
And gives us the double barrels. And wakes up the following morning and unfortunately is probably reminded by all his friends in texts and stuff, "Do you have any idea what you said to Mickey or Mary last night?"
No.
And that do you know that in the United Kingdom, again in that survey that I read for the presentation, 1 in 10 people after the Christmas party, 1 in 10 employees after the Christmas party, never turned up again in that workplace.
That's shocking, isn't it?
There was no investigation. There was
But getting back to the more serious, I mean, as a solicitor, you represent people who will go to the Workplace Relations Committee, or they're up there in Dublin, right, or yes, wherever indeed. It happens to be. And so people who are going to lose their jobs because of what they've done or how they've behaved at a Christmas party, or vice versa. And you also represent people who have been sexually harassed. Somebody's invaded their space in some way, or more serious than that, possibly raped even, at a Christmas party. I mean, and I'm shocked to see how common this is becoming now.
It is, and it extremely common. And, you know, threats of, sadly, the most really, really vile thing that we've come across recently is in we've two threats of rape by one employee to the other. And, you know, that's vile. That's really, really low. That's as bad as it gets. And, you know, it's causing a double loss. First of all, the person who makes the threats get fired, and then the person who is in receipt of the threat, as vile as that, will litigate for personal injuries and for trauma and for all kinds of things, and you'll lose that employee as well.
And by the way, a word of warning, by the way, because I didn't know this until you said it earlier on, to all the employers out there, you are responsible for your staff.
Correct, and the insurance industry is getting nervous as well because, you know, we would be doing a lot of work for them, and the problem is that under employers' liability insurance, they insure incidents in the workplace. And you can imagine, Neil, that in Ireland, a normal workplace, there's not really a huge amount of this awful behaviour, but the drink and drugs brings the level of incidents and the severity and seriousness of the incidents to a different level altogether. So the insurance companies ultimately hold... They take the the cost of the claims and the unfair dismissal cases.
I mean, we know what claims are like nowadays, don't we, John? we know how bad that particular industry happens to be at the moment with claim. I was only looking at one in the paper this morning, by the way, of a woman who poured boiling hot water into a glass and done stores, and the glass exploded naturally, because everybody knows you don't put boiling water into a glass, and obviously has a claim in against done stores. And I'm going, what happened to the old days where people had to prove some sort of negligence? That doesn't do the case anymore.
There's an awful lot of cleaning up to do in that whole business.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable, Niall. But the really, really seriously growing place, which is a really, really dangerous place, is the Christmas party.
Okay. Okay, bottom line, John, is it time to cancel the Christmas parties?
Well, there are alternatives, as you know. You can give tax-free vouchers up to €500, as you know, Niall, and things like that. And also, I think people should do a survey of their employee. You mentioned a while ago that you're not a great fan of it. Way more people than you imagine do not like going to Christmas parties. And if you gave people the option, you'd find that a large number of them would say, you know, it's bad enough to work sometimes with people during the day, et cetera, without having to have this forced sociability thing. And then...
But see, I'm not a drinker, John, so I don't drink. So I find it difficult sometimes to handle people who I have a very sobering relationship with during the day on a regular basis. They're, you know, you'd see them more than you'd see your family. And then you have to see them at a Christmas party and they're falling all over the place. So
and they become totally different people. And some people, as you know, there's a small minority. Drinkers
My producer them. Just said in my ear, are you talking about me? Because I know well, she's going to have a good time tomorrow night.
You can tell the producer that you still have 24 hours to cancel tomorrow night's party and to save all the morale and the staff and the whole lot.
Listen, John, it's been wonderful talking to you. I think the Christmas parties will go on for a long, long time, but I think you're right. I think employers are going to have to take stock of the fact that, you know, increasingly there's problems at these Christmas parties. I think, you know, if you go back 20 or 30 years ago, when I kind of got the bad, I suppose, impression of them, things were slightly different. We didn't seem to care as much about things like sexual harassment and things like bullying. We didn't care as much about it as we do now, and people would be very quick to go to some sort of labour court or go to a solicitor like yourself, indeed, if they have, you know, had some problem, more so now than they would have 20 or 30 years ago. So listen, it's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you very much indeed.
A pleasure. Thank you very much, Niall.
Thank you very much. That is, of course, John Boylan. How could I forget the name? Founding partner of BDM Boylan Solicitors in Cork, basically saying that the Christmas party is a cesspit of madness. Dara, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Dara?
All right, how are things?
Should we cancel these Christmas parties? They seem to be dangerous places.
I think they should. I think people know they should have some kind of a modified Christmas party. In other words, have a lunch in the middle of the day with a bowling or something, or these activities. And I think people have to take responsibility for their own actions as well. I think there's a case, we can't ban it because some people are misbehaved. But I agree, alcohol and drugs are ruining these parties.
The alcohol certainly does for some people because they just get greedy.
So I think, what's wrong with a sort of a meal in the middle of the day, a non-alcoholic meal in the middle of the day, or a bit of bowling? I remember going to one place I worked, it was bowling or something.
Yeah.
Or these activities, you know, everything has in Ireland seems to be based around alcohol. But I do think that the thing about the glass and the canvas, those people, I think it's about time that that these people take it on. If people are stupid enough to put boiling water in the glass,
We let a judge decide on that one. But in saying that, there has been a lot of spurious claims, of course. I don't want to go too much into the insurance industry at the moment and solicitors, etc. But I mean, John made a very clear point that because of the world we live in now, and people are very quick to complain when something goes wrong, be it for sexual harassment or bullying or assault or whatever it happens to be, or even losing their job because they've said something to their boss or whatever while they were pissed at the Christmas party. Yeah. You know, I mean, like when you look at the stats of the amount of affairs that happen at Christmas parties, people who are married running off at the secretary or whatever it is, I mean, it's not a good place to be.
And it's a pity because I do think that in a company, even in your radio station or my workplace, you're going with a colleague. I often meet them for just a coffee or something, or you might go bowling the odd time or something.
You're a bit obsessed with bowling there, Dara, aren't you? Huh? You have a bit of a thing for bowling, haven't you?
No, I remember work we used to do it in this other place. And it could be those games, you know, those kind of running around the mountain things, shooting paint things. But then you'd probably get sued there as well.
Yeah, if somebody got injured. Yeah. Paintball.
So, yeah, but there must be, I don't know, some activity. But there has to be...
You know, I think you're right. A bit of go-karting or something like that. Yeah. Or, daytime. That doesn't involve alcohol.
But as long as there are people who go on it, they sign a thing that they're not going to sue them if they get a headache or something when they go.
And look, if the staff, you know, want to go out and get hammered together, sure, they could organise it between themselves if they want to.
Themselves, exactly, in their own time. So they're a responsibility for themselves. It shouldn't be... the thing is, I mean, ever since I saw that, the person from the self-reliant party falling off a swing and then trying to sue the place,
yeah,
I said, no wonder we're paying huge money in insurance in this country.
Okay, well, stay there a second, because Andy, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Andy?
Niall, how's it going, man?
Now, Dara even thinks that, look, if you want to go for a few drinks with your mates for Christmas and work, well and good, organise it yourself. But the work shouldn't be doing it. They should be organising something a little bit different. More of an activity rather than a drink-based thing.
How was your day going? I'd like to ask you that.
Andy, my day is going okay. I'm kind of looking forward to the Christmas. I do like Christmas. And by the way, Andy, you're the only one who ever asked me on the radio how I'm feeling today. And thank you. And I do really genuinely appreciate it. I'm not just saying it to you. And I'm looking forward to Christmas because I like it. I get a bit of time off. I get a week and a half off work. So it's great, to spend time with your own kids or whatever it is and do what you need to do and get a few bits and pieces done. So I look forward to that. And I like Christmas. I just like Christmas. Yeah.
How was the results of your MRI scan? I had it done recently. You were talking about the knees the last time I was talking to you. And how did your results go for you anyway?
Yeah, well, thankfully, they couldn't find any. I know people had mentioned this before by text, by the way. People keep asking me how I am because I've gone for an ultrasound. I've gone for an MRI and I've had blood tests and everything because I had a pain in my side. But particularly bad pain. And thankfully, the results came back clear. They couldn't find any. The only thing they found out that I had two herniated discs in my back. So that completely irrelevant, it's unrelated to the pain that I have in my side. So I think the pain in my side most likely is this, that I've torn a muscle under my ribs.
That is sore.
But it's extremely painful. If you cough even, it's like somebody sticking a knife in your side.
But then you should be used to pain. Now you were married.
Yeah, you got a good point there, Andy. Yeah, yeah.
You get immune to pain after a while because when you get married for so long, you know what I mean?
Maybe just not to the right person. Okay, Andy. Okay, getting back to these parties. Now, I mean, Dara says, look, why not organise a day out with some bowling or a bit of go-karting or something different to going out and have everybody getting pissed in a restaurant somewhere?
Yeah, but it brings back many happy memories, Niall, the Christmas parties to me anyway, the few I did attend, what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm retiring and I'm working part-time. But, the guy, I remember once a Christmas party, and the guy was obnoxious when he was sober, so... he was after being annoying someone's wife at a do before, so he said something to the guy, this other guy anyway. And they were two fairly hefty guys, and of course they were ordered one another outside. So he went outside anyway.
So it was guns at dawn, was it? Yeah.
Fist raised. Right? And now the guy that was obnoxious was fairly big and strong, and he was into football one time, but he didn't realise the other guy might be a lot slimmer, but he was the same height, and there was one blow struck anyway, and the obnoxious guy went down, and there was another guy, he was a lot smaller, he was lifting over 5 foot, and he didn't like your man as well, so...
So they were all having a go at him, yeah.
So when he dropped down, he went in and gave him a bit of a kick in the stomach, and I christened it the Robertstown uppercut, you know what I mean?
All right, okay. Okay, but I mean, there usually is there was always a fight, I remember from the Christmas parties I went to when I worked in the nightclubs, a fight would usually break out at some point between people who didn't like each other.
Yeah, it seems to come out, but
the inhibitions go away, don't they? The drink is taken.
The alcohol, and they start to remember what happened during the year, and it just builds up in them. But I think it's up to people to know when they have enough drinks or don't drink. I go and I don't drink, and I just have.
But what about wandering hands as well? I mean, you've got guys who, there are people, and look, there's blokes and there's girls, by the way, who are quite creepy people. And, all of a sudden at the Christmas party, a bit of drink is taken and they feel they can do anything they want to anybody they want. You know what I mean? I mean, and that happens at the Christmas party more so than any other time of the year. I mean, yesterday Tara read out the stats there that, 30% of people go on the pull, essentially. It doesn't matter whether they're married or single. They're going looking for something. And it's not just a drink.
Personal responsibility, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you think you can't control yourself, don't go. If you think you can't control yourself, don't drink. You know what I mean? And it really, I don't know, it's people lose their inhibitions when they have alcohol. Well, unfortunately, when you do that, there's consequences, and you're going to have to face some consequences.
Well, the consequences are you could end up in quite a lot of trouble, i.e. in jail, or indeed you could just end up losing your job, depending on, you know, how severe what you've done is.
Some of the bosses now, in fairness, it wouldn't go to them, like, because they'd have a especially if they weren't too popular.
I was surprised there that John Boyle and the solicitor mentioned there a few minutes ago that, you know, they established in a court case going back a couple of years ago that the Christmas party is an extension of the workplace. So your employer is technically responsible for how you behave within reason. So if somebody is attacked, it's basically considered work time. So your employer holds some level of responsibility for you and for other people that you might come across.
Yeah, but we're heading towards a nanny state again, like, you know what I mean? And we're trying to legislate for this and ban the other. And
Don't get me wrong. Most people have a good time with their Christmas parties, but unfortunately, it is a time where a lot of bad stuff happens. And I mentioned there in a survey by the Congress of Trade Unions last month, 20% of sexual harassment reported in the workplace takes place at an event like a Christmas party.
Yeah, where alcohol is involved.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Because the inhibitions go away and guys and girls act stupidly.
And then they face the consequences. But trying to ban them or put in legislation against them, it doesn't make sense. Like, it's up to people to actually...
A bit of personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility, like, you know what I mean? They're not... How come they're okay at the other 364 days of the year? It's only when the office party comes up or the Christmas party or whatever that they decide then that they really are...
Well, I think there's a kind of... It's like almost a release of frustration of a year that you might have been working with somebody, or maybe you didn't like them all year, or maybe you were very attracted to them all year, and all that frustration goes away the moment you walk in that door and have the first drink, and all of a sudden everybody looks different, and instead of being your work colleagues, they're now your mates. So things are different, and it just has a bizarre effect on the brain. Listen, Andy, thank you very much indeed. I want to go to Jane straight after the break as well. Andy believes the world has gone PC mad. Absolutely, we shouldn't be banning them at all. But I want to know what you think. There's a suggestion, by the way, by some people that we should ban Christmas parties. That if you want to have a Christmas party at the workplace, like Dara said, it should be an event during the day. You know, I don't know, soccer or go-karting or some sort of, you know, corporate event during the day with a meal. But very little alcohol, maybe a couple of drops of wine or whatever. And if you want to have the all-out Christmas party with the free alcohol and the shenanigans, well, you do that in your own time. So in other words, somebody within the workplace can organise it amongst themselves, you know, rather than involving the employer and the workplace. So there would be no kind of pressure to go. Richie says, it's this time of the year that HR earn their money. I know from personal experience that I've been sexually harassed at 8 of the last 10 Christmas parties. The thing is, I'm self-employed. In other words, he can do nothing about it. Also, lots of people suggesting, somebody says, we're pandering now to people who can't even have a few social drinks. What about the other 50% who work hard alongside somebody for the other 11 months of the year and for one lousy day want to hang out in a different environment on behalf of the company? If people don't feel like they can behave, stay at home or deal with the consequences. Don't punish everybody. #snowflake culture. All right, let me go to Jane. Jane, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Jane?
Hi, Niall. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm shocked by these stats of people going on the pull, 30%, 20% sexually harassed at their workplace Christmas party. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew it was bad, and that's why I tend not to go to them, but I didn't believe it was that bad. I know people get drink on them and behave very differently, but you had a bad experience.
Absolutely. I started a new job in the September and went on the Christmas party at the beginning of December. I was the only woman in the company with six gentlemen. And I was sexually assaulted in the early mornings after.
Were they all drunk? I'm not suggesting, by the way, that's a reason, by the way. I'm only asking.
The gentleman, it was two attempts. He attempted the first time in the very early hours of the morning, and I didn't answer the door. And the second time was 10:30 a.m. before breakfast.
Okay, so there was an overnight stay involved in this particular...
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
So I answered the door, obviously, the second time with the impression that, you know, everyone had been sobered up and stuff like that. And
we were just going down for breakfast, maybe, an invite down to breakfast.
Yeah, we all kind of made a joke at the table for dinner the night before, saying, you know, wake me up, make sure you wake me and wake me up for the breakfast in the morning. So Yeah. That was kind of instilled in my head, so I didn't think I had anything to worry about. It never once entered my head. You know, this guy trained me up for 3 months and, you know, we were...
You had a good working relationship up to that,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
and was there any in the time leading? I'll come back to the when he knocked at your door in a second.
Yeah.
But in the time leading up to that Christmas party, was there any indication that there was some sort of romantic kind of wanting from him?
No, married guy, 3 children. His wife was at the Christmas party. I sat beside her for the whole entire dinner. Lovely.
Okay, so there was partners invited to this Christmas party.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
My partner just didn't happen to go with me. He had his own on the Friday night.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So he arrives at the door and he's knocking on the door. So you open the door. What did he say?
I didn't invite him in. He made his way in. I was kind of comfortable with that. I didn't think anything of it. And he pushed me on my bed and sexually assaulted me.
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry, Jane.
Yeah. That must still suffer the consequences.
That must have been a terrifying moment for you.
I was... Do you know what, Niall? I'm well able to stand up for myself, you know, but in this situation, I was very scared.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I tried to keep things calm, and, you know, he tried to rape me. That's, you know, a sexual assault.
Yeah.
For the last year, I think it should be called attempted rape. Because that is what he was trying to do.
That's what he was trying to do, only for that you had the wherewithal to maybe... And did you manage to stop what he was doing, or how did you react? Okay.
I just tried to keep things calm. Just tried to keep things calm and said, come on, you know, let's go for breakfast. And not to make... I know it sounds ridiculous.
No, it doesn't sound... I know exactly what you're thinking. You're trying to just calm the situation. You'll deal with it afterwards. Yeah, just try to stop it.
There was a thought in my head to grab the bedside lamp, you know, and... to hit him,
get me wrong, he wouldn't have deserved anything less than that, but however, yeah.
Yeah, and then I thought, you know, what if I missed? You know, what if I missed?
It'll get worse, yeah.
Yeah, so I kept things calm, and to be quite honest, it just ended, and he left the room, and I just crumbled. I just couldn't believe what had happened, and still can't. I don't understand it.
Did he really, so... When you went down, or did you go down for breakfast, did he apologise? Did he come over and say, look,
no.
I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I was completely out of order. Or
I travelled with one guy on the train to this particular hotel, and he travelled on the same train with his wife. And we had booked the train, and we all went to the hotel together, and we had all booked the train to return together. But as soon as it happened, I, you know, got dressed straight down to breakfast, and I met the guy that I travelled with, and I met him for breakfast, and I attempted to tell him what had happened. He didn't want to know, and I was quite upset, and the guy who assaulted me left early with his wife. I'm just guessing he didn't want to see me or...
No, of course he didn't
know,
because
he
didn't want you to bring it up, obviously. Yes, of course. Coward, absolutely. So how did you go to your employer about it, your boss? And
On the Sunday evening, I texted my own boss and I told him that an incident happened. He said he would meet me on the Monday morning. He kind of took a bit of a statement of me. He wrote a couple of things down.
Do you believe you were taken seriously?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, okay. Because some women in those situations believe they're plumassed, if you know what I mean. So
No, not at all. And in fact, he contacted the MD in Dublin, and he met with me on the Wednesday morning. And actually, the gentleman returned to work on the Monday morning. He worked on the Monday and the Tuesday and the Wednesday, and my two bosses interviewed
him. That must have been so awkward for you then to see him coming in after, because of course you've had the weekend now to think about it.
I didn't go on Tuesday, Niall. I didn't go back into work.
Okay.
No, I couldn't face it. No.
Because you wouldn't.
No,
I was going to say you would have time to think about it. Yeah.
Crazy. He admitted everything. Absolutely everything.
And,
I just don't understand it.
And the next step, of course, is you went to the guards about it, obviously.
Yes, I made a statement and there's a criminal investigation, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's admitted it to everything. He's pleaded
absolutely
guilty.
Absolutely everything,
guilty.
Yeah. He's pleaded guilty and he's been sentenced in January.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Jane, I'm really, really sorry, and I know that must have had a traumatic effect on you. And yes, I know we're making,
yeah.
I know in some sense we're making light of the Christmas parties today, but just to let people know that something extremely serious like that can happen as well. That's, I suppose, one end.
Oh,
of it.
I've heard a couple of stories since, and yeah, it is happening.
And it's very common.
You know?
Very, very common.
Yeah. And
a lot
you know
more
what?
Common than we think.
I never thought anything like this would happen to me, ever. You know, ever. I'm quite a careful person. And it's not through no fault of my own. And
no, it's not. Of course not. No, no, never blame yourself.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, there's absolutely no reason for somebody to do that to anybody without being invited to do it or consented to it.
Fine line.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I do understand that affairs and all that kind of stuff happen at Christmas parties, but they're consensual and they're inviting each other into each other's rooms.
Yeah,
and all. But
exactly,
you did not invite this man into your room.
No, no, not at all.
Yeah.
No.
And you didn't deserve that. I'm really sorry. And I
thank you.
It's easy for me to say, you know, in time is a good healer, and it is a good healer, but it is something, of course,
it
that you'll always
healer.
Remember. And it makes you, and the problem is, it makes you cautious. You know, for the rest of your life. Yeah.
Extremely. You know, I haven't been out. My first night out with two of my girlfriends was Tuesday night for dinner, and that was my first night out since. And it was extremely hard for me.
And
extremely hard.
Because I suppose you just keep thinking of that all the time. You think,
I'm
what if somebody invades
anxious.
Us?
I'm anxious.
Yeah.
I'm very anxious, you know, and I'm very weary. You know, if I see someone looking at me, you know, I'm thinking, what are they looking at? Are they, you know, it's
are they going to do the same as him? Yeah.
Well, not to that extent, I don't think, but I'm just very careful now. I'm very aware that what has happened to me, and I don't think I'll ever get over it. I hope I
no,
do.
You, well, you'll always remember it. You'll always remember it.
Absolutely.
But,
and
as
it's
I said,
been a ripple effect.
Time might heal.
Throughout my family.
Yeah. And it has a huge effect. I know you said you were in a relationship yourself at the time as well.
Yeah.
And it probably had a huge effect on your own relationship then as well.
Yeah, it took my partner a long time to digest it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say he wants,
you know,
I'd say your partner wanted to kill him, to be honest with you.
Do you know what? No, he never did. He was very calm for me, looking after me.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't want any more upset throughout the house because, you know what, we have a 17-year-old son, and I sat down and explained it to my son. I was quite open with him. You know, he's 17. He needs to be aware of these things, and he needs to know that fine lines can't be crossed, you know, when he's going out meeting girls and stuff like that. So I think he was of age where I was okay. It was okay for me to explain it to him. But in the last year, I haven't been great at home. You know, I could have been a better partner and a better mother and friend and daughter in the last year, and
but I'm sure you have. Maybe you just think you haven't.
No, I haven't.
Because
No,
it's on your mind, and I know you're anxious, and I know it's affected you very badly. And for that reason, that maybe you feel you could do better for other people, you know, particularly your family and your partners.
Yeah.
But I don't believe they think like that. You know,
I'd like to hope not, but sometimes I just feel like that. It's certainly had a ripple effect throughout my little family. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm still going through cancer and stuff like that, and it's good. It's helping me an awful lot, an awful lot.
Okay, well, look, I wish you well, Jane, and I hope you get good resolve, and I hope you certainly get the justice that
you
deserve, because that was a horrible thing to happen to anybody. All right, thank you very much indeed, Jane.
Okay, Niall, Merry Christmas. Thank you.
And the same to you, same to you.
Thank you.
All right, lots and lots of texts coming in. A lot of people, by the way, empathising with Jane. That poor woman, no woman should ever have to go through that. Absolutely nobody should ever have to go through anything like that. Another person says, no, I'm listening to that story. I now retract my last statement when I said Christmas parties shouldn't be banned. Maybe they should be when you listen to stories like that. It is horrific. All right, lots of texts, by the way, coming in relation to Jane's story. A lot of people actually understanding, because maybe they've been in a very similar situation. A lot of people saying how brave she was coming to the air. But there's one text I want to address here. And it's actually, I'm not going to read out your name, because I think one might embarrass you by the way I'm going to speak about you in a second. But it is a woman, which surprises me even more. And I don't know why that should surprise me even more, that it's a woman. It shouldn't really matter. But she says, she starts off, I thought it was just a nice text. And says, brave girl, but fair play to the guy for owning up to it. So, you've just listened to a story of a woman who was sexually assaulted and almost raped at her Christmas party. It has a profound effect on her life. The guy has awaiting sentencing. He pleaded guilty. But you're saying, fair play to him for owning up to it. Now, am I misunderstanding the context of your text, that you're kind of saying, well, fair play that he pleaded guilty so she didn't have to go through a long trial? Or are you saying, fair play to him for owning up to it? Because there's nothing fair play about what any man does, owning up to it. If any man does that to a woman, or indeed any woman does that to a man, there's no fair play anywhere. I don't understand how you could even put that into a sentence, or how you could give this guy any credit whatsoever. He's scum. That's all he is. He's a married man, and he sexually assaulted another woman. An innocent woman. He's scum. There's no fair play at all. Now, maybe if you want to text back in, maybe I've taken you completely out of context, but that's all your text said. And I just wanted to draw attention to that. I don't want anybody to think for any minute that some sort of kudos should be given to him just because he owned up to it. He's a scumbag. Now, by the way, if anybody was affected or has been affected by something similar to that, or maybe you want to talk to somebody about something similar that happened, you can contact, of course, the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre at 1-800-77-8888. That's 1-800-77-8888. Let me go to Niamh. Niamh, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Niamh?
I'm good now.
Yeah, well, getting back generally to Christmas parties, it was a horrific story. I know.
It was. And do you know what worried me about that was, it was, you know, it almost took away from the topic because that was the morning after. You cannot blame, he can't even...
Blame the alcohol.
Not that you would ever blame alcohol for something like that, but he can't even do that because that was the morning. He had that in him.
Oh, he did, yeah. He was. You know what I mean? He seemed determined that he wanted to obviously have some sort of relationship with her, or I don't know what he wanted with her, but he seemed determined to want something. And what a low life.
Absolutely. And you know what? Just strikes me as the sort that would have done that, whether it was a Christmas party or a conference or a meeting or whatever. I feel sorry
for his wife and kids.
Terribly sorry for his wife and kids, and I feel terribly sorry for her and her relationship. Yep. And I really hope that she's okay, because it's a horrific thing to happen to anybody.
Yep.
God love her.
And yeah, I mean,
very brave to come on and talk.
She
about
was,
it.
And
really
she, and
brave.
She talked about it really well, and very understanding, and it showed. I suppose there are other people, and maybe look, if Jane's story makes other people, be you male or female, think about an incident like that did happen to you, and that you wanted to do something about it, well and good. You know what I mean? Because I mean, that should never happen to anybody. You know, I mean, I know people make approaches to each other on a general basis, and you know, and people flirt with each other at Christmas parties, but that, you know, there's a line you step over.
That was attempted rape. That's
absolutely, he yeah, leapt over that line. Leapt over
Name
that
it,
line.
Call it what it, you know. She was very good, but call it what it is. She was right.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, God love her. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, in relation to Christmas parties in general, I mean, are they a kind of cesspit of people who have issues with each other, might have a row with each other, who want to maybe make a sexual approach to each other? Are they just not good news, Niamh?
I don't know, Niall. I mean, I think we're at the stage now where everything is getting banned because one or two people can't deal, you know. But yes, the vast majority of people, you spoke with this the other day, and even Helena said, as she goes to a Christmas party, has a good time, goes home to Rory, everything's fine. And I think that's what the vast majority of people do. It's a time to let your hair down. It's a time to, you know, do it on the company dollar or whatever. But, and I think people who are single, fine, you know, go for your lives. But just if something happens, then it's time to take it to HR. But you can't, you sort of cancel everything just in case. We're getting to this situation in society where, you know, let's not let children run the playground just in case.
Oh, no, I know, and I get that, and I'd be the first one, and I've always said it, that we still have to try and be ourselves. Look, there's nothing wrong with flirtation. Yes, it's immoral to have an affair if you're a married person. It's not illegal, but it's immoral. And yes, all those kind of things happen at Christmas parties. But the problem is when you see a statistic, for example, and I mentioned a few minutes ago where the trade unions have said that 20% of sexual harassment cases in the workplace happen at events like a Christmas party. I mean, we have to start taking that seriously. And not just sexual harassment. You know, there's fighting. I mean, look, it was going on when I went to Christmas parties years ago. But just, I think people just didn't care as much about it. I don't know why there was a different attitude towards it. But there were young
cameras.
Girls
there
and
was
young
no
guys.
There, that's probably it.
Yeah, and no mobile phones.
Cameras.
Yeah.
No, nobody could video it. And, you know, the next day, on Monday in work, you didn't have a video going around of you sitting on the boss's knee, not you personally. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be sitting on Sean's knee, in fairness.
No, you wouldn't. but there wouldn't be a video of, say, me sitting on my boss's knee.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know. It just seems
it's that environment. Whatever about any other night out with your mates in work is probably fine. But it's that environment of a Christmas party where you've got all these people who've worked together all year who suddenly look different because they're dressed up. And, you know, maybe the grudge that you've held against Tony in the office or Sheila in sales, all of a sudden those grudges all start to come out, and as soon as the drink is taken, the loose lips happen, and you know, and then all of a sudden there's a Barney, and you're not talking to her, and she's not talking to you, and this rolls back into work on Monday morning. So there's a big problem with office Christmas parties. There really is. Now, I'm not saying we should ban them, by the way.
I don't know. I just think it just comes down to self-responsibility. Do you know what I mean? If you're big and brave enough to do it, and you're big and brave enough to say it to Mary in accounts, well, then take the rap for it.
Okay, well, listen, I have to wrap it up, Niamh. I've run out of time. Thank you very much indeed.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.